So I'm actually just going to get the title of the sermon from that last verse there in verse 12, where it says, "For who knoweth what is good for man in this life, all the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun?" And the title is "All the Days of Our Lives," all the days of our lives, which is kind of in the phrase there, "all the days of his vain life." But this phrase, "all the days of our lives," or "all the days of our life," you know, that is something, a phrase you see, you know, similar phrases throughout Scripture. And really what I want to preach to you about tonight is having a long-term plan for your life. You should have a long-term plan for your life. Obviously, around, you know, the new year, we preach a lot about, you know, making plans for the new year and having short-term plans and short-term goals. And obviously, those are great things to do. That's something I've preached, but we're kind of getting to that halfway point in this year. You know, maybe we've even forgotten already what it is we set out to do at the beginning of this year, or maybe we're right on top of all the goals that we set out. Maybe we just didn't set any at all. I don't know. But, you know, we should have some goals in our lives. And obviously, the real popular way to think about that is, you know, what you're going to accomplish, you know, this month, this week, this year. But really, when we look at Scripture, you know, we're told that we should actually look at our life as the whole. And obviously, we have different seasons in our life. And one thing that'll really help us in our lives is if we have, you know, long-term goals for each season in our life. You know, we should have different goals depending on where we are in life. We should have a long-term plan for your life. I believe that. And obviously, you know, probably if we could just sum it all up by saying, you know, the one long-term goal that we should all have is to serve God. You know, whatever season of life you're in, you should be, you know, asking yourself and considering, you know, how are you serving God? In what way, to what degree are you serving God? And with that in mind, go over to Psalm 23. You know, obviously at different seasons of life, you're going to be able to serve God greater than at other seasons. When you're younger and you have full of energy, you don't have a lot of the burdens and responsibilities that come as you grow older, you know, you'll probably have a greater opportunity to serve God than you would later on in life. You know, the young person who doesn't have a lot of the responsibilities of life as far as maybe, you know, wife or a spouse and children, they have got a lot more free time. Obviously, they're going to be out and be able to go out, and if they want, you know, to serve God to a greater degree, they're going to be able to go out at least in that way. You know, they're going to go out and be able to preach the gospel, right? They're going to be able to go out, spend more time knocking doors, spending more time being able to read their Bible and know the word of God than perhaps the busy, you know, housewife, the busy mother of children, you know, obviously has a lot of other responsibilities that are demanding her attention day by day and that have to be tended to. They're not optional, right? She can't just drop everything and say, well, I'm going to go soul winning now, or I'm just going to sit down and demand that all of my children are quiet so I can read my Bible for an hour. Yeah, they have to a lot of times fight to fit those things in. And I'm just using it as an example that, you know, obviously we should always be serving God throughout our whole life. You know, whatever plans you have in life, serving God should be at the top of that list. But understand, that's not always going to look the same in every season of life. And that's why a lot of you young people should take advantage of the fact that you have this season of life to serve God in a way that other people can't. You know, the young ladies in the room who yet don't have the family, the young men who don't yet have the, you know, demanding schedule that must be met, you don't have the flexibility to just take time off and maybe go on the soul-winning trip or whatever, you know, you should avail yourself as much as you can and take advantage of those times, because once they're gone, they're gone. You know, and once that time has come and gone, you're never going to be able to get that back, okay? So serve God with that should be obviously the long-term goal of all of us. That is and we'll see here at the end of the Ecclesiastes, I should have had to keep something there, we're going to come back, but we'll see at the end, you know, that's what Solomon came up with. Hey, this is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Obviously, there's a lot of vain things in life. Well, everything ultimately just adds up to vanity. Even the good things that God has given us to enjoy this life are vanity. They're not going to necessarily turn into or, you know, equate to eternal rewards in heaven. Okay, they're just part of life that ultimately is vain. I had you go to Psalm 23, right? Psalm 23, verse 6. You know, obviously a very famous passage here. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Go to Psalms 27. So there's that phrase again, all the days of my life. You know, we want to serve God all the days of our lives. We want to make sure we have a long-term plan. We ought to consider all the days of our lives. And we ought to think about, you know, what season that we're in. I'm not saying that maybe the young, you know, 20-year-old, 20-something-year-old necessarily needs to figure out what they're going to achieve in their 50s, right? And I'm going to break this down here in a minute. But we should have long-term goals. As we move through life, you know, we should consider where we are and what lies ahead of us and what can we accomplish, you know, in the next season of our life, in the current season of our life. And obviously, serving God should be on the top of that list. You know, I thought about I looked up the phrase where Hezekiah, you know, he was healed of that boil that he had. They came in and they put the lump of figs on it, and then he gives this song of praise to the God, and he says, "The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing songs to sing my songs to the string instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord." You know, he was healed and he took the time that he had left saying, look, I'm going to praise God, you know, with the time that I have left, right? And in a sense, you know, if we're saved, we've all kind of been healed of that boil of sin. You know, we should all have that same attitude that no matter what else I have plans for in life, no matter what other things I want to achieve, no matter what other things I'm going to do in life, serving God and praising God are still going to be a major part of that. You know, that's what we could see with Hezekiah. Right? He was healed and he said, I'm going to give God the glory for it. Look at Psalm 27, verse 4. It says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. So you can see where this phrase comes up repeatedly, right? And he's saying, I'm going to serve God and dwell in his house all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. All the days of his life, he's going to be in the house of the Lord. Again, when we're talking about having long-term plans for our lives, serving God should be on the top of that list. No matter how busy we get, no matter what other things we have going on, I'm going to be in the house of the Lord. I'm going to be found serving God to whatever degree I'm able to do it, you know, given my, you know, whatever season of life I'm in. And what's great is that, you know, God gives us liberty, obviously, in our lives to make our own decisions, right? Thank God we're not, you know, just some pre-programmed robot, you know, that we're just some kind of algorithm that God has created acting out. You know, God gives us the ability to make decisions and to make plans, right? And that's why it's important to preach sermons like this, because quite frankly, a lot of people just don't make plans. People just never want to change. It just seems like people sometimes just don't want to change anything. You say, well, what should I do? You know, what do I want to, you know, what kind of plan should I make? Well, what do you want to change? You know, ask yourself, is there anything I could change about myself or my circumstance, you know, within reason? You know, you don't say, oh, I wish I, you know, obviously there's some things about our physical appearance, you know, or our stature, we just can't change, right? Well, I wish I was taller. I wish I was shorter. You know, it's like, well, you got what you got, right? Deal with it. Okay. But, you know, obviously within reason, there's things about ourselves that we could change if we wanted to. You know, there's things that we could change if we just sat down and thought about what they were. Okay. But sometimes people are never going to change. They're never going to make those changes simply because they don't bother taking the time to think about it and to actually make those plans and follow through with them. Okay. I should have had you go back to Ecclesiastes. If you would, go to Ecclesiastes 12 and bookmark it when you get there. We're going to be in Ecclesiastes and Psalms, but Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. You know, God gives us liberty to make plans. God gives us liberty in this life to determine our own path. I love that. I love that, you know, we can choose the life that we can live. And obviously, I started out by saying, hey, serve God. You know, no matter where you choose to live or, you know, what occupation even you maybe take on, you know, serving God is something you can do in any of those circumstances. And going to church and winning souls and reading your Bible and keeping the commandments of God and living for him and living a godly and holy life is something you can do, right? But obviously we have a lot of our own decisions that we can make. We can make our own determinations about other things in our lives. We have that liberty. So why don't we then? You know, that's kind of what I'm trying to encourage people to do. Make a plan and do something with that then, right? And even, you know, no matter what age you're in, you know, if you're still here and you still have life ahead of you, you know, you still have an opportunity to make decisions and choose a path and accomplish things, you know, for yourself and for God. You know, if there's things you want to change about your circumstance or about your life or, you know, about you in some way, shape, or form, you can do that, okay? Look at Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. It says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, right? So he's kind of speaking to the youth here, saying, don't forget God in your youth. Remember him in the days of your youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And then he goes on and kind of describes, you know, getting older, you know, becoming an elderly person, becoming old, to where, you know, life doesn't have the pleasures that it once did, okay? Those things kind of go away as we get older. You know, the taste, the smell, the senses, a lot of these things, they go away as we get older, and we kind of just look forward to going on to glory, right? So it's really important while we still have the ability to change things and enjoy things about this life that we go ahead and do that. You know, remember your creator. You know, and some people probably write themselves off a little too early when it comes to this idea of, you know, getting older. You know, they'll think, well, I'm already, you know, 40, 50, 60 years old. It's like, it's over. Put a fork in me. It's like, no. You know, if you could still enjoy a lot of these things, if you, you know, if you, you still have life in you, I think what he's describing in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 is a very elderly person. You know, somebody who's, you know, got one foot on a banana peel and the other one's in the grave, right? It's really kind of the end of the road for them, okay? But, you know, anything shy of that, you know, we should remember our creator, especially in our youth. Obviously, that's where the emphasis is. Remember your creator in your youth. And make plans in your youth. And God gives you those liberties to just decide what it is you're going to do with your life, but don't forget God in that decision-making. And all of us, no matter what age we're at, whether we would consider ourselves a youth or not, we could still make changes in our lives. We could still make plans and follow through with them if we want to. And all I'm simply trying to do with this sermon is get people to do that if they're not already. You know, there's that famous quote that says, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. You know, if you don't make any plans at all, if you don't try to do anything, then obviously you're not going to achieve anything. Okay? You're not going to get anything done. And this is something I've, you know, you say, where is this coming from? Well, this is just something I've been thinking about. You know, I've been thinking about this for some time now, actually, you know, the last several months, but you know, this idea, and it's something I know I've preached from time to time, but the Bible does tell us in Psalm 90, I know we all know it, I'll just read to us in verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our heart unto wisdom. You know, that'd be a great verse to just plaster somewhere that you see every day. Teach us to number our days. You know, no matter what age we're at, we should probably sit down and think about, okay, how much time do I really, you know, if I live a natural life, can I really expect to live? How much more time do I have on this earth? And then, you know, and some of us, obviously, it's going to be shorter than others. You know, we should probably, if that's us, should probably think, okay, not just give up hope and say, well, that, you know, it's too late. There's nothing else I can do. My life is over. You know, you can still accomplish great things for God. You know, and I'm kind of preaching to myself, too, a little bit here, because even at 40 years of age, you can think, oh, my life's half over. I'm done, right? But really, if you sit there and you number your days and you do what the Bible says and you apply your heart unto wisdom, you know, even in a, if you're past, you know, the halfway through your natural life, you can still accomplish, you know, more things for God than a lot of people will with their entire lives. And that's true. You know, if you're sitting there at 50 years old, you think, oh, I've only got maybe 30 years at best. You know, you could still accomplish more in those 30 years for God than a lot of people will with their entire lives. And I'm talking about a lot of Christians, simply because a lot of people don't take the time to plan. You know, and especially in the youth, don't they? Like the youth, this is something, oh, I'll get around to it, right? Life just becomes about having fun and just doing whatever they want. There's not a lot of planning that can go into that sometimes. And a lot of times youth just gets wasted. You know, and that's why a lot of times even people who are maybe more advanced in years can still accomplish more than a lot of youths will with their youth, Okay? It doesn't have to be that way, but that's kind of the way human nature is. That's just kind of the way people are. It ought not be that way, though. But it's, you know, that's the way things will play out if we don't apply our hearts unto wisdom. And we ought to teach, we ought to number our days, consider what season of life we're in our youth, in our middle age, or maybe even more advanced ages. We should apply our hearts unto wisdom and consider what can we accomplish for God, and then set out to do that. You know, what can we do? What souls can we win? What can we improve on? Those are the things that we should be thinking about. And honestly, I really take that phrase, you know, number our days to heart. Okay. I did the very depressing experiment once of seeing how many days I had left, you know, from my current, you know, where I was until 80, right? Because that's kind of what the Bible tells us, you know, by reason of strength, 40 and 10, right? Now, obviously, we can live beyond that, but I think 80, if you make that's being, you know, being buried in a good old age and full of years, right? That's a good advanced age. That'd be a good life, you know. So I took that, I thought, there's some experiment where you count how many days that is, how many actual days. And I can't remember exactly how many days it was, but it was like, if you equated that to dollars, it was not very impressive at all. It was like half a year's worth of expenses. You know, it was like in the 30,000s or something like that. It's just like, you know, if you look at it like that, that can be maybe a little disheartening if you think, oh man, I only have 30,000 days left if I live till 80. You know, but, you know, so maybe we need to scale it back a little bit. This is kind of what I've learned when it comes to this thing of numbering your days. So what I did is I actually numbered until my 50th birthday, right? Because obviously that's kind of a milestone. When you hit 50, that's a major milestone in your life. And I can tell you, and I didn't just prepare this for this sermon. I knew this morning that I had 2,760 days until my 50th birthday. Because I count it now, like every day. How long have I been doing that? 2 days, okay? And I got a witness, because this guy was talking about this, my wife, and I leaned over in the drive home this afternoon, and I said, I have 2,760 days until my 50th birthday. Say, why would you do that? Because, you know, it gives me some kind of a time frame. I'm numbering my days so that I can apply my heart to wisdom, so I can understand as I see that, you know, 2,759, 2,758, 2,757, as that begins to tick down, you know, that time is passing and that we need to apply our hearts to wisdom. If we're, you know, actually going to accomplish something or improve in some area, you have to consider the fact that you don't have all the time in the world, okay? That you have to get to work. And what I've found is that when we plan in the long term, it actually makes us a more patient people. At least it's done this for me. Because, you know, honestly, there's a lot of things that I would like to accomplish. There's a lot of different things I want to start doing. There's a lot of things that I want to do to improve myself. But the tendency is a lot of times for people, when they start to think about that, they feel like they have to get it all done right now. You know, they got to make all these big changes. They got to take on all these endeavors. They've got to, you know, make all these improvements so that they can hurry up and get it done. But when you actually number your days and see how much time you have to a certain date or whatever, it'll actually make you more patient. Because, you know, when I number, you say, why did you number to 50? Because I thought about, well, when I turn 50 and I look back, you know, on this, you know, between then and now, you know, what will I have to have accomplished to not feel like my 40s were wasted? You know how I love to use a lot of alliteration, and I use these things to kind of remind myself, you know, in my own life, you know, and I came up with this, you know, how I want to live my 40s. I said, I want to forge my 50s in my 40s. I'm going to forge my 50s in my 40s. You know, I want to live today. I want to live the rest of this decade of my life, right? This next 7.5 years, so that when I turn 50, I can look back and say, hey, I accomplished this, and I accomplished this, and I improved this. And honestly, if I do all that, my 50s will be very, I believe, formidable. You know, I'll be, hopefully, God willing, if I make it that far and I'm able to do everything I want to do, you know, I'll have improved as a preacher. I'll have improved as a husband and as a father. I'll have improved as a leader. You know, I'll have improved personally, you know, my own life, things I want just for me, you know, and I'm using myself as an example because, you know, that's something we can all do. This is something and a philosophy I think we could all adopt and put into practice in our lives. You know, what's the next major milestone in your life? What are you going to do when you look back on the time between then and now and say, what did I accomplish? Well, if you don't think about that now, it's not going to be anything. It'll be nothing. You won't have accomplished anything. You know, and I know that's true because honestly, you know, a lot of, you know, like I said earlier, a lot of times that's how youth spend their lives. I mean, I know that's how I spent a lot of my life in my youth. I wasn't thinking about at 21, 22 years of age, you know, what do I want to have accomplished by 30? You know, and I'm not saying that as something to be proud of. That, you know, that's a shameful thing, honestly. Even the young people in this room should start thinking about what is it do you want to accomplish, you know, in the next 10 years? What are your plans? What are you going to get done? How are you going to improve? What are you going to excel at? If you don't sit down and number your days, you're not going to apply your heart to wisdom. It's just a fact. And what I've found is that, you know, instead of looking at, you know, what am I going to accomplish between now and 80, you know, kind of shortening that horizon a little bit, although albeit 50 is still out there, it's a lot can happen in 8 years. It does allow help you realize how much time you have to actually accomplish everything you might want to do and not feel so rushed into having to get everything done immediately. And you can actually formulate a plan. Okay, here's step one, step two, step three. And you can work your way through that, okay, and not feel rushed to make you patient. And so, you know, it kind of led me to think, you know, people should plan for each decade of their life. So I want to kind of just very quickly tonight just kind of go through the different seasons of life because I understand we have a wide gamut of people here when it comes to age. And praise God for that, okay? So let me start with the youngest, those of you that are, you know, 10 and below. And obviously, you know, these kind of, some of these ages will overlap, all right? Maybe this could stretch into the 12s, the tweens. I don't know what the tweens are even, you know, is that like, I don't care. You know, you know, the early teenage years, basically your childhood. You know, sorry to break it to some of you, but turning 13 does not, you do not cease to be a child at 13, okay? So this could kind of stretch. Obviously, there's some room here where things will overlap. But, you know, just generally speaking, children, right? You say, should children have an outlook on life? Yes, and it's very simple, okay? I'm going to give it to you very quickly. Obey and play. That's it. Those are the two things for you, really. Okay, because the Bible, you know, addresses children. And we all know those passages, right? I'm sure every child in here could stand up and quote Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, you know, Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Okay, so, I mean, the Bible commands that of children. And obviously, you know, honoring our parents is something that goes on and even to our adult years. I get that. But we apply that to children, so that's it for you. Obey and play. You know, that's something I tell my kids, especially the ones that are getting older and they get all excited about, you know, becoming a teenager. And I hate to break it to them, but being a teenager isn't all that great. You know, I know a lot of the teenagers would probably argue with me on that point, but it just shows what they know. Being a teenager is probably, and you know, I know I pick on them a little bit, and I'm cutting, you know, they deserve to have a little slack cut for them because it is one of the most difficult and awkward stages of life. In fact, it is the most awkward and difficult stage. It's difficult in that sense that it's awkward, you know, for all the reasons that it is. So don't get too excited about becoming a teenager, children, because it's really not all everything it's cracked up to be. I certainly wouldn't want to go back and repeat it for several reasons. So children, obey your parents and don't be in a rush to grow up. You know, don't be in a rush to hurry up and try to become an adult because once your childhood's over, that's it. There's never going to be another season in life where people are going to want you to just go in another room and play with a bunch of toys, right? Where people just want you to get, hey, just go play with your Legos, go play with your cars, go outside and just run around. Please, no one, you know, there's going to come a point in your life where if you do that, people are going to start looking at you weird. And saying, what's wrong with you? You know, do something productive, you know, get to work, pay some bills, right? That's what it becomes. You know, that's what being an adult is. It becomes a lot of responsibility. So that's the outlook even children should have, okay? So there's that first, you know, season of life. Then obviously, you know, and that would also apply even to teenagers and young people that they should just continue to obey, to learn, to work, to do what they're supposed to do, and to enjoy life you know, as they can, you know, through play and take different activities and things, because that stuff goes away in time. You know, so we'll move on though. What about people that are getting into, you know, maybe that young adulthood, the early or the late teens, early 20s, that you know, even really up to their 30s, you know, when you're kind of considered an adult, you know, 18 to 30, right? Well, really, you know, that's a season in life. What kind of plan should you make? Which kind of long-term plan should be on the horizon for somebody that's approaching that season of their life? And, you know, it's pretty cookie cutter. It's pretty generic, but it's generic for a reason. It's because it's just the natural course of life. It's a career, it's marriage, and it's children. That's really it. You know, and I'm going to emphasize that because of the world philosophy that's out there. There's a lot of other people that will tell you, oh, no, that's not what your 20s are for. You know, your 20s are to sow your wild oats. It's to go out there and party and live it up, okay? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't teach that, okay? Go to Psalms 128. Psalms 128. The Bible says in Lamentations 3, it is good that a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. What's good for a young man? To work, to bear the yoke, not to just live this carefree lifestyle where you're just out there, just living it up. That's actually going to be detrimental for you in the long run. It'll have detrimental effects on your health. It'll have detrimental effects on your finances. It'll have detrimental effects on your spirituality. It'll have negative effects if your life just becomes all about living for self in your youth. Okay? So people that are in that age bracket, you know, that 18 to 30, where they're kind of, you know, they're coming into adulthood, they're young adults, they're taking on responsibilities. You know, your life, the things you should be trying to accomplish are a career, marriage, and children. Okay? And obviously that differs a little bit when it comes into whether or not you are a man or a woman. Okay? Look at Psalms 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. You know, who's the blessed person? The one that fears God and walks in his ways. Yeah, but that's something you do when you're older. No, it's for everyone. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. So God's saying, if you fear me and you walk in my ways, you'll be happy. But now notice how God describes what a happy life looks like. How does the Bible define happiness? Right? Happy shalt thou be. It shall be well with thee. What does it mean? How does the Bible picture it going well with us? Verse 3, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, and thy children like olive plants round about thy table. You know, he didn't say, you know, happiness is you doing a cake stand in the woods at a bonfire. You know, happiness is you just bumming around Europe and skydiving and doing all, you know, just living it up. That's not what he said. He said happiness and being blessed by God is having a wife and children. And that's not the popular message. You know, that's not what everyone just feels like that's what's tying them down. But isn't it funny how many people you'll run into who don't have the spouse, who don't have the children, and that's all they want more than anything. You know, that they wish they could go back and get that. Those people are out there. You know, so maybe we should just trust what the Bible's saying here and just believe it when it's telling you that true happiness is fearing God. And a life that's going to satisfy over the long haul and not just end up being vain and meaningless is a life that involves a family, okay? And obviously, if it means a family, it means responsibilities. It means a career. It means being able to provide for that family. It means bearing the yoke in your youth, because that's the rest of life is bearing the yoke. Man was designed to work. That's what we're here to do. Look at verse 4. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Oh, that doesn't sound like a blessing. Well, the Bible says that is a blessing, that if you're going to fear God, that's how God's going to bless you. He's going to give you the spouse. He's going to give you the children. Okay. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. You know, that's a great blessing to have in life, to be able to see your children's children, to set, you know, the grandchild upon your knee. Okay. That's something, you know, we can look forward to and ought to strive for even in our youth. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. And I'm kind of parking it here a minute because I want to combat this world philosophy that's out there that is going to tell young people to just put off marriage, put off having children, just go out there and just live it up and just make life all about just you having fun. Just make it about self. Just make it about you having all these crazy adventures, you know, and just turn your life into an Instagram reel. Okay. And, you know, newsflash, those people, that's not what their life's really like. You know, the life isn't just going to all these exotic locations and living all these, you know, just insane adventures, right? You know, it's probably some trust fund child who has nothing better to do than just fly around the world and paint some, you know, fake picture of what life is supposed to be like. And people, here's the thing, people look at that and they think, oh, that's the blessed life. You know, me standing under a waterfall on some exotic island. You know, that if I could just have those experiences and go do those type of things, you know, if I could just drive the motorcycle and go out and just do all these crazy adventures, then I'd be happy. No, you won't. You might be entertained. You know, I'm not saying you're going to go there and yawn and be bored. You're going to, regret in that moment doing it. But if you just make your life about that and just chasing after those things, even in your youth, you know what? You're going to find out at the end, it's all vanity and it's all meaningless. You know, you say, what kind of things do you regret, Brother Corbin? You know, I was actually thinking this the other day. One of the regrets I have in life is that I didn't meet my wife sooner so we can start having children sooner. You know, we met at 28, 29. We got not married 29 years, had our first child at 30. Am I getting all this right? Okay. You know, it's been a while. But, you know, I sometimes think, man, if we'd met earlier, you know, and we could have had, you know, another 10 years of having kids. You know, I'm not saying that I say I regret that, but you know, that's a good regret in a sense. And I'm glad we met when we did. I'm glad that we had the children that we have. In fact, I love my children so much, I wish I had more. You know, I don't sit here going, man, if I had just, you know, put off marriage for another 5 years, if I just put off having kids for another decade, I could have gone out and, you know, bought a fast car. I'd have more nice clothes or, you know, I could have gone up in a hot air balloon. Look, it's not like you can't do some of those things even with children. I mean, it becomes incredibly hard to do pretty much anything at some point, but we'll get to that in a minute. But what I'm saying is don't let this world, young people, paint this picture for you that this is what it looks like to be happy. This is to live this fast-paced, exciting life. The Bible says the opposite. It says that a blessed and happy life is marriage and children. It's true. And we're commanded to be fruitful and multiply. Look at Ecclesiastes 9, excuse me. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, verse 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity. You know, life is vain, ultimately. And living with your wife, living with your spouse is probably the most meaningful thing that's going to come out of life. It's true. God gives us this relationship. God gives us the fruit of this relationship because it's something that brings true and lasting value to our lives. Okay. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for this is thy portion in this life and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. This counters this world philosophy out there that says your youth, you know, your 20s, because that's kind of the age that we're looking at right now, because we're talking about having long-term goals for all these different seasons of life. This counters that age of, you know, 18 to 20, maybe even into your 30s, whatever, okay? What are some of the philosophies that are out there? Oh, your 20s are a time to experiment. That's what I've heard. I remember being told that. Oh, you're 21, 22. This is the time of life that you just go out there and just experiment. What they mean is just go out there and get involved in all kinds of sin. That's what they're saying. Go out there and just drink and do drugs and fornicate and sleep around and party. Just do the complete opposite of what the Bible says. That's the philosophy that's out there. You know, just go out there and hang out at the bars, go to all the shows and just hook up with whoever and just have all the one night stands you can and just experiment. And I love how they put that little, it's experimenting, like it's some harmless thing, like it's something good, like you're going to come to some conclusion at the end of it. Like, I have a hypothesis about my life, and I'm going to go on experiment and kind of see, you know, what's for me. Well, the Bible's already told us, you know, what is good for us in our youth. It's marriage and children. You know, and maybe you can't put that up on a reel somewhere and impress everybody with it, but you know what? That's what the Bible says is blessed and happy in life. That's going to make you not live a vain and meaningless life if you do that. It counters this philosophy. You know, experiment in your 20s. Let me just, let me translate that for you. Do things you'll be ashamed of later. That's what that is. Hey, go on an experiment. Basically, go do things that you're going to regret later in life that you wish you hadn't done. Is that where, that's where it leads. You know, go get the disease you wish you hadn't gotten. Go out there and make the terrible decision you wish you never made. Experiment. That's what they mean by that. You know, your 20s is a time to make mistakes, right? I've heard that one too. It's a time to make mistakes. Let me translate that. And I get it. You know, we're all going to make mistakes, you know, but we're all not going to make the same mistakes everybody makes. Well, at least we don't have to, okay? We're all going to mess up. We're all going to wish we could have things we could do over. Even when we're trying our best to fear God and walk in his ways, I get that, okay? But what I'm saying is there's people out there, it's time for you to just go out there and just make mistakes, experiment. You know, make mistakes, what they're saying is just go out there and waste time. Just go out there and waste a whole decade of your life accomplishing nothing and then having to play catch up later in your 30s and your 40s. Because other people who feared God and were more diligent about the things of God got way ahead of you, right? And instead of out living and party, you know, living it up and partying and everything, they settled down, got married, got serious about their career. And now in their 30s and 40s, you know, they're successful. They have children. They have adult children by the time they're in their 40s. They're enjoying them. You know, they have older children that are helping with their younger children. That's what they mean by experiment and make mistakes. It's go out there and get into sin and waste time, okay? That should not be the long-term goals we have for young people. That's not the long-term goal you should have set for yourself. It should be what's found in Scripture. And it's very clear what the Bible says. You know, find a spouse, get married. And, you know, I debated whether or not I was going to put this next point in here. Advice for finding a spouse. Because I found that this is me just usually wasting my breath. You know, some guy, and it's especially frustrating when guys will come to me, hey, you got any advice for finding a wife? And then I give them advice and they're just like, no, that won't work. And they just walk away. It's like, well, you know, I'm the one with the wife, you know, so obviously it worked to some degree. And I could point, and I've given advice that maybe even wasn't necessarily what I did, but I've seen it work for other people. Okay. And you know what? I'll just throw it out there just in case it might fall on some ears that people, you might actually do it and it might work out for them. Because I know that, you know, a lot of people probably want to fulfill this for their lives. They might say, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to find the spouse and I want to fulfill that, you know, praise God for that. You know, that's going to be a blessed young person. Okay. So advice for finding a spouse. All right. My real, like the stuff I've said in the past, here's one that I said in the past to one guy, more than one guy. I've said this to several of them, maybe even expressed it from the pulpit here. I don't know. I said, why don't you go get a part-time job at In-N-Out or Chick-fil-A and find a wife there, right? Because that's the thing. Well, where do you find a woman? Well, one, if you're looking for a wife, looking for one in a kitchen is probably, you know, not a bad start. Especially if she's making sandwiches. Come on. Just kidding. I'm half joking about that one. But think about it. You'd say, well, that would never work. But yet I can point you to people where that's exactly where they met their wife. And maybe not at In-N-Out or Chick-fil-A. I just use those two restaurants because if you're going to work at fast food, those are the best ones to work at. You know, and they're stuck there with you, right? They have, you know, they're going to have to interact with you. They're cornered. They can't quit, right? So, you know, that's worked for people, you know, but I've given that out there. And again, I'm sure everybody that just heard that is going to go, that'll never work. And yet it could, you know, because you see young people there, right? You see young ladies there. You see the young men there, right? And if you've already got the day job and you're working that part time at night trying to find the spouse there, you're already earning a paycheck and saving up for the ring. You've already got the honeymoon money. You got the down payment. Okay. So anyway, that's solid advice, by the way. But no one will ever take me up on that. You know, maybe my son will one day. He'll wise up and do it. And then I can say, see. But here is just some more general advice, because people have a hard time finding a mate today, especially if you're, you know, a new IFB, Baptist, fundamental. I understand, and I honestly, I have sympathy for people, young people, because a lot of the other young people today, they've adopted the world's philosophy, haven't they? There's not a lot of them out there that are, a lot of young ladies out there that are looking to just hurry up and have kids and be somebody's wife. You know, they want to go be the lawyer, the marine biologist, or whatever. You know, they all want to just go out and live, have a career, and go out and whore around, basically. So I have some sympathy, but my advice would be to work on attracting a spouse rather than finding one you're attracted to. Okay, and what I'm really saying is focus on you, right? Work on actually being somebody who can attract a spouse, right? Young man, work on just being strong, capable, and confident. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about it. You know, that's my advice. We got to move on. So that's kind of my advice. You know, when we're talking about having a long-term plan for all the days of your life. All the days of your life, you should be thinking about where you are, what season of life you're in, what is your goals, what should they be, what should you be focusing on. Right? We looked at children, obey and play. Right? Young adults, teenagers, start thinking about that career, finding the spouse, having the children. That's what the Bible says is a blessed life. That's the fruit of the womb is His reward. Okay, having children is a blessing. It's not going out there and living some party lifestyle and everything that comes along with it. So maybe somebody, you know, maybe people do that, right? And then they get into that next phase, you know, their 30s, their 40s. What do you do then? Well, basically at that point, you just hang on for dear life. That's all. You just try not to drown under the burden of all those responsibilities. Just try not to let the weight of the world crush your spirit. No. Let's close in prayer. Right? You know, 34 years of age, but honestly, there is a little bit of truth to that. You know, you just raise those kids, just hang in there, keep serving God. Don't let them drag you down. But that's really it. You know, they just keep serving God and raise those kids. I really don't have a lot of advice. You'd think I'd have a ton of advice for this age group, but I don't. Because, you know, it's really that. When you start having those kids, you know, it's just really about day by day, you know, paying the bills, getting through it. But as I said at the beginning, always make sure you're serving God. You know, don't. And obviously, to as much as you are able to, you know, given your certain circumstances, okay? Now, when you get into your 40s and onward, honestly, I can't talk a lot about what your life goals should be in your 50s and 60s and onward, just because, you know, I'm not there yet. Come back in a couple, you know, every decade, and we'll talk about it. But pretty much, you know, kind of my philosophy going into my 40s is, like I said, preparing to age well. You know, and that might not sound flashy. That might not be the most exciting thing, but it's practical and it's needful, because it's inevitable that you're going to get older, you know, God willing. And really, as even you, and even in your 30s, really, let me just from your 30s onward, okay, just focus on aging well, you know, and not sliding into the slime and just becoming, you know, completely useless when you get older, right? Keep your mind sharp, keep your body sharp, you know, stay in good health and prepare for old age. The Bible says, I'll just read to us from Psalm 90. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So he's saying, hey, you know, we're 70, 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80, right? Meaning if we want to get into those even more advanced years, it's something we're going to have to make happen for ourselves. You know, it's something that we're going to have to work on. We're going to have to focus. And obviously, I get it. Disease just comes out of nowhere. Tragedies, things just happen. They're unavoidable. That's part of life. But generally speaking, you know, we should be focusing on living into a good old age. Don't you ever love that phrase when you come across it and you're reading through Genesis, you know, where it's talking about when this patriarch was, you know, so many years old and he lived, you know, he lived to a good old age, or he was buried, you know, in a good old age, full of years. I love that statement. You know, I hope that that can be said of me one day, that I will go to my grave full of years and of a good old age, right? I want to make it, you know, I want to be able to go that far. Why? Because I want to be able to make an impact for Christ. And so that's kind of my last point. And, you know, you might be sitting out there and thinking, well, a lot of this doesn't apply to me. You know, maybe some of these things just aren't going to be in the cards for some people in this room. The family, the children, just it's not going to happen, or it already has, whatever. One thing we can all do, as I started out in the beginning of the sermon, is to serve God all the days of our lives. And we can all should be striving towards making an impact for Christ. And really, when you think about it, all the points that I've made are to that end. You know, what's the point of having the children? To raise godly children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as I preached this morning, and so that they can go out there and make an impact for Christ, so that our faith continues on, even in the next generation, that souls are still being saved, you know, through our influence long after we've gone to the grave. Make an impact for Christ. That's why we should want to live well into our old age. And understand, even if we are approaching, you know, those sunset or twilight years, it's not over. And there's still a lot that can be done for Christ. I mean, good night. Think about Moses, right? I think that's one of the greatest examples. I love that example of Moses that, you know, he set out at 40 to try to do things in his own power, but it wasn't until he was 80 years old that God used him to do some of the greatest works that you'll ever read about in Scripture. In fact, the Bible says there was not another prophet like him. I mean, he's the friend of God. And that started at 80, right? So don't ever think that just because maybe you didn't have all these other things take place for you, you made mistakes. I mean, Moses killed a man, okay? Moses was a vagabond. Moses was an outlaw on the run. He'd made mistakes, right? Or he was old, you know? Oh, I'm just too old. Well, you know, God gives us examples of people in Scripture who did great works despite their past not being perfect, who did good, great works and made huge impact for Christ. And when I say make an impact for Christ, I'm not saying you're going to be some, you know, well-known televangelist. I'm saying you're going to have you can have an impact on eternity. You know, you might not be known in this world, but your name will be known in heaven by a multitude of people that have come to Christ through you. I mean, that's what I mean by making an impact for Christ. Saving souls. You know, being an influence for God. Being a blessing in your local church. Influencing other people that come and guiding them and helping them in the Scriptures and living the Christian life. That's an impact on eternity. Yeah, it might never make the newsreels here in this world, but you know what? Heaven will know what you've accomplished. And I don't care what you have or haven't done in your past. I don't care what age you are right now. You still have time to do great works for God if you wanted to. If you would number your days, if you would just be sober enough to sit down and think about how much time do I actually have left and number those days and then apply your heart unto wisdom, you could accomplish more. In fact, you will. It's guaranteed you will accomplish more than if you didn't do that. Or you could just sit there and not do that and just think, well, I'm just not going to even bother. Then you can guarantee that you're not going to accomplish anything if you don't apply your heart to wisdom, if you don't number your days. Go to Ecclesiastes 9. We'll wrap it up. You know, succeed in other areas of your life. Maybe some of these other things aren't in the cards. You know, maybe marriage and children, all those things, it's just not there for you. Or it's come and gone. You know, there's other areas you could succeed in. Business, you know, or like I said earlier, aging well. You know, maybe it's time to take up that hobby that's going to keep the mind sharp. Learn a language. I mean, I don't know. You tell me. What do you want to do? I mean, sometimes I think that's what people just need to do. They just need to sit down and think, well, what do I want to accomplish? What would I want to look back on in 10 years? What would I want to look back in 5 years? What long-term goals can I set that I would be proud of accomplishing if I did them? If I think if people would just sit down and at least think about that, And not just, you know, not just quickly, not just, you know, hurry up and get that over with, but actually sit down and really think about this. I mean, it's something I've thought about, and I'm not going to just think about it this weekend so I can come up with a sermon. I've been thinking about this for a while. This is something this is something I've been mulling over. What do I want to accomplish in this life? What do I want to get done in the next, by the time I'm 50? What, on my 50th birthday, which is on a Tuesday, by the way, do I want to look back on and be able to say, I spent the last, you know, my 40s were spent well. I accomplished this, I did this, I did this. What things am I doing so that my 50s will be better than they otherwise would be? Okay. Succeed in other areas of life. Okay. If some of these things are not on the table for you, there's still plenty of things you can do. And as I was just saying, we can all make an impact for Christ. I don't know where I had you go. Ecclesiastes 9, whatsoever, look at verse 10, thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. You know, find something to do and do it with all your might. Accomplish something. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. You know, life is going to come and go. It's going to be over before we know it. You know, we might as well make some goals, number our days, and then get after it and actually set out to accomplish something. You know, and obviously a lot of these things that I discussed earlier are great biblical goals that we ought to set for ourselves. But, you know, whatever thy hand find to do, do it with thy might. Succeed at something. And obviously, as I said, above everything, serve God, make an impact for Christ. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. I said we would go there. So why should I worry about making an impact for Christ? Because you'll wish you had. And I don't care how much we do accomplish for God. I don't care how many thousands of souls we end up bringing to Christ. I don't care how many, you know, great sermons we preach or put into practice in our lives. When we get to glory and we see what heaven is really like and we stand in the presence of God and we look Christ in the face, I don't care how much anyone has done, they'll wish they had done more for God. And all we can, you know, the best we could ever say in our life is I did everything that I could. And, you know, what I'm really trying to preach is, or get across by preaching this is that people would avoid getting there and just saying, well, I didn't do anything, or I did next to nothing. Because that's going to be, you know, that's not going to be a good feeling. That's not what I want for people in this church. You know, no matter what we do for Christ, you know, it's not going to be enough. Why should we try to make an impact? Because when we get to heaven, we'll wish we had. We'll wish we had. You know, you might write this sermon off. You might think this is just, oh, whatever. But I already know this is a fact. This is just something I know. What I'm preaching tonight, whether you put it into practice tonight or not, when you get to heaven, you'll wish you had. You know, if you write off what I'm saying and don't make any plans and don't apply your heart to wisdom, just think, you know, I'm just going to spend my 20s doing whatever I want and go out there and go ahead and get all the regrets and go ahead and go out there and make all the mistakes and waste all that time. You know, there's going to come a point in your life where you wish you had listened. That's a fact. Look at Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. What does God expect out of me? Fear him and keep his commandments. For God shall bring every work into judgment and with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it will be evil. You know, we'll wish we had. You know, the more opportunity we were given to serve God, you know, the more we'll wish we had done. Let's go ahead and have a quick word of prayer.